This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the Polykill Podcast. This is episode 46, and as always, we're your hosts. I'm Travis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames. Of the two of us, I'm more of the retro and classical gamer. And next episode, Jake, will be our 2 years podcasting together.
It's crazy.
It is. It's been two years.
Whole years.
This is our two-year-old baby.
Yeah. It's nuts.
So cute.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Who are you?
I'm Jake. I'm the McAxel. Or at the McAxel on Twitter and Instagram. And of the two of us, I tend to play more Overwatch than you do.
It's true.
And more fighting games. Uh-huh. And as of late, beat more games.
That may be true. We don't know. We don't know if you've beaten more games or not just yet.
Well, I'm just referencing the last episode.
Last episode for sure. It was dog awful.
You're sucking hind tit.
Sucking the tit near the end, okay. As you would say.
I'm not sure if we said that word on this podcast.
Hind tit?
Yes.
No, I don't think we've ever specified the tit.
A specific one.
A specific okay. tit. But there. No, hind tit, the last tit on the row of teats.
Yes.
It was the one of which I was sucking last episode. No, yes. you are absolutely correct.
I was on lead teat.
If you're new to the show, we talk a lot about gaming, the games that we set out to beat, our backlogs, and there's a lot of dick jokes, and we reference tits more than we should. We're very respectful most of the time, but we can't let a good tit joke go away.
Correct. Know,
can't do it. And that's just who we are. So we hope you enjoy it. Now, Jake, last time we were together, we had the Flock of Nerds on.
We did.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Had a blast.
Yeah. So if anyone's first episode was last episode, and you're like, where are the other two people? They're not here all the time. They have their own podcast. Yeah, but you can check them out over at Flock of Nerds.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, you can go to their YouTube channel. They have their own podcast, Flock Talk. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of weekly videos, a lot of weekly Let's Plays. So check them out. I also did a Collect Call. Second one of the season with Scott, a.k.a. the VG Collectaholic.
Ooh.
Dude, man. Whew, that guy. Lots of games. I don't even want to know how much money he spends a month on games. I have seen he has tweeted, like, he has a mail day. He tweets the pile of packages that he gets at his door. I asked him if he would adopt me, and he said no.
Oh.
And then he went out Craigslisting, and he found, like, a really good deal. And I was like, if I put myself on Craigslist, though, like, real cheap, would that help? Would you get me then? So he still said no. He won't adopt me. He refuses.
That makes sense, though. You're a grown man.
I am a grown man, but I would love to live in his boner dungeon of video games. That's not weird.
Right.
And we also started, just on a whim, I made some videos.
It was good.
We had some leftover footage.
It's good.
And by leftover, I mean just on the front end of a few episodes that I hadn't quite deleted yet. Yeah. I just happened to notice some of this is silly, and it might make good YouTube fodder.
There you go.
We're always trying to see what sticks on the YouTube wall.
Right.
Maybe this will. I don't know. So check that out. It's just, it's dumb. There's no point to it. But it's called Premeditated. It's right. Before the Polyco podcast airs, or before we hit record.
Which is ironic because it's not premeditated. It's the least planned out thing that we do.
That is true. That is very true. It's just us sitting around waiting to record.
Right.
What are we doing for that time?
Usually waiting on you.
No, that's not true.
Usually waiting on you or
guests or whatever. Just trying to
get in the zone, hit some auto caffeine.
Mm-hmm. The caffeine's the big thing.
Caffeine's a big thing, or depending on the week or the day, the alcohol.
Yes, which we've slacked off of podcasts because we're sloppy. We're too sloppy.
We're too slow. We get drugged down.
Can't think of words. Get tired at the end. And just
say
get
games. Good.
We even stop making jokes. We're not even as funny.
No, it's true.
Next week, we're going to be recording Off Kilter 8, and we're going to need your help. We need you to send in all your sports stories.
That's next week?
Yeah, we record that next week.
God!
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. So sports stories, any level, any degree, whether you were involved or you saw it or you're a fan
spectator.
Of, doesn't matter. Yeah. Guys, we're just giving you a little bit of a thing to run with. Just send us a story. As long as it's good,
Yeah, make it up if it's not.
Yeah. Embellish. It's perfectly fine. We're going to embellish it anyway when we read it. So that's that. So that's all the housekeeping. Let's go to recent pickups and on the radar.
Boy, hum.
I picked up a big thing.
You did pick up a big thing, and it wasn't your dick.
well, not this time. No, it was. I've adopted a PS4.
You did. You shared custody.
I do share custody. Me and Hokey Briz at Hokey Briz on Twitter. Mm. We share custody of a PS4. We have named it Petey.
That's adorable.
It is a first generation PS4. It is very adorable. It came with one game, Destiny, which I'm not too excited about playing. Plus, Destiny 2 is coming out soon, so it's a bad time to get it anyway. If I were going to play it, probably.
True.
But I'm already excited. Brian's already got The Last of Us going.
Yeah. Yeah.
He picked up Horizon Zero Dawn for it. You just brought over Ratchet and Clank, so I'm excited to play that. Mm-hmm, I'm looking for a good deal on Nier Automata, Automatic, and I'm excited to play a bunch of PS4 games now. Finally,
you've got a wealth of games that you're going to add to your backlog that, you know, exclusive to PlayStation. And I really have to say their digital store, what they get on there is, in my opinion, head and shoulders above what shows up on the Xbox store.
That's
just good to know. Just some things that they get, and plus, you know, they really love their old shit, so they brought back, you know, they bring back Parappa the Rapper, Crash Bandicoot, Patapon, you know, they're bringing all those back, so it's pretty cool that they do that.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited, and you mentioned a few things that tickle me specifically, because being a fan of the old stuff, it's nice to play those things. You know, I don't have them all, but then they're fun to play that way. So I'm excited about PS4, old Petey. Now, I don't get Petey for like a month.
Right.
Brian's running with it for a while. I had some other things going on, but I'm excited to get it. So
that's
cool. What about you? Did you acquire anything?
I did acquire a few things. Well, first of all, I'll just go ahead and say this, that when Catherine from Flock of Nerds was on the show last episode, she mentioned that she was interested in a game called Yonder the Cloud Catcher Chronicles. Now, I had not heard of this game up until the time she had mentioned it, which is kind of weird for me, because usually I'm kind of like, you know, at least if I don't know what it is, I at least heard the title. I hadn't even heard of this one.
It rolls right off the tongue, though.
It doesn't. But we kept talking about it, and she talked about, like, it's, you know, like a job game where, you know, it's a little Stardew Valley-ish and all this stuff. So I was like, hey, I need to check this out. So went and took a look in a book of Reading Rainbow, and turns out this game's right up my alley.
Did you say something about Reading Rainbow?
I did. Don't worry about it. So I think I bought it the day before it released for like a $5 discount. And I have to say, it's quite adorable. It's I haven't dug too far into it yet, but I did pick it up digitally. So
what is it on again? I'm sorry, what
PS4?
PS4. Okay.
PS4. I also picked up Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Oh,
3DS.
I see. Yeah. A dark moon rising.
Yeah, boy. Now this is one that I mentioned a while back on the Under the Radar segment that we did. I think we should come back to eventually.
Sure. Yeah.
So far, both of the games that I had on that segment, Dying Light and this one, I finally picked up. But this is a Nintendo Select now for 3DS, so it retails for $19. So I got a few bucks off of that at a GameStop and happily acquired it. So I'm excited to play that.
Nice, man. Just Luigi's Mansion. There's not. Is there only two?
There's only two.
Not enough.
Only two. I agree. I haven't really started it yet, but I'm anxious to play it. And last but not least, I got Metal Gear Solid The Phantom Pain for $4.99 on Xbox One.
Now, I'll be honest with you, Jake. There's so many Metal Gears and Metal Gear derivatives that name means nothing to me. What is this?
This is the most recent one.
Most recent one?
The last one that Kojima touched.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And it's apparently quite a humdinger. Like, it got some Game of the Year awards, some perfect scores. I think IGN gave it a 10 out of 10. So, you know, it's a solid game. So I think I'll enjoy playing it.
$5, man.
$5.
Great.
Newegg.
Oh, so physical and Newegg.
Physical.
Very nice. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Okay, games on the radar. August 1st through August 14th. That is our record window. I like when it lines up perfectly with
the 1st
and 14th or something like that.
It's like
nice.
A pay period.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the long, let's go ahead and say long dick, because I'm probably going to call it that eventually, but the long dark.
Right.
It comes out August 1st on all the things.
It do.
And you showed me this on, maybe it was a, was it a early access at that point? On
yeah,
PC?
Yeah,
so I'm excited.
I actually own this, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, wilderness survival, and it's not super, you know, surreal or anything like that. It's got a nice aesthetic to it.
Yeah.
which I'm looking forward to. So.
Yeah, boy. It's a good one.
I'm also looking forward to Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. That's Mega Man 7 through 10. Putting all of those together. They're getting a little harder to find at that point in real life.
Okay.
So it's nice to have those in that little collection there. That comes out on my birthday, August 8th.
Oh, well.
That also comes out on... Yes, thank you. That also comes out on all the things. So yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Very nice. Very nice. I got two on my radar. I got numero uno here is Tacoma. And this is from Fulbright. And this is the developer of Gone Home. And this is their next game. And it's kind of like this abandoned space thing. And what I like about what I liked about Gone Home was that it was a very empty game, but it also had a lot of personality, it had a lot of narrative, it had a lot of story just in everything. And I really think this one's going to be very similar. So I'm pretty excited about that. That's August 2nd, and that is on Xbox One and PC. So I'll be picking that up on the old X-Bone. And the other one is Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. Now, this is a game that I've been interested in for a while, since it was announced back in 2014. This is from Ninja Theory. They're a small team, but they make fantastic games, fantastic-looking games, high production values. And this is coming out on PS4 and PC. This is an interesting... concept. You're playing as, I believe she is Celtic. She may be Celtic or Norse. I'm not really sure because it kind of falls in that gray area of timelines and geography. But she is a lone warrior who is struggling with a psychotic break and some psychosis, and that plays into the game and kind of looking at mental illness through, you know, like a 13th or 14th century perspective. So it should be really interesting.
Sounds very deep.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be a smaller game, very narrative, story driven. I think the release cost is $30. So, and it'll be one that'll be fairly easy to pick up and very playable. So
did you describe the aesthetic? Like what's it?
Oh, hyper realistic graphics.
Okay.
Very,
okay.
Very realistic.
Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, I mean, really good.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So, nice. What else has Ninja Theory made, did you say?
I did not say, and I can't remember off the top of my head. I really do think that they were involved in some of the early Ninja Gaiden reboots on, like, original Xbox.
Sounds right. I mean, Ninjas, Ninja Theory, Ninja Gaiden.
I remember, like, seeing, like, the lightning flash over the ocean and then the mountain, mm-hmm. then it goes to the mountain mm-hmm. and Ninja Theory with background. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm right on that.
Okay.
I didn't look that up.
Fair enough. All right.
Yeah.
Well, those sound fun. That's
yeah,
that one comes out on my birthday, too.
Yeah, dude.
Good day. It's a good Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right. What happened last time, though?
Let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, the hosts welcome their friends from Flock of Nerds on to share their pickups, polykills, and long plays. Trav finally finishes The Witcher and Jake surprises the masses by beating four games including Ratchet and Clank and Rhyme. The community gets a shout-out while Miles and Catherine share what they've been up to for the topic of discussion.
Alright, and we're back. Now it's time for them Hot Jakes. Jake, hit that Hot Jake music. It's time. Let's talk about it. Free game rundown, PS Plus and Xbox Live games with gold.
Free shit!
Destiny 2 beta.
There's a wizard on the moon!
The Atari box?
The fuck?
The fuck? What's going on with that thing?
Yeah.
Free game rundown.
Free game rundown.
A lot of free games coming out in the month of August, Jake. What are they?
Yeah, and this is not something I necessarily intended to be in this section on a episodic or at least once a month, but I really do feel like that August has an incredibly strong month, and I just thought I would just bring it up and comment on it. For PS Plus subscribers, the games that the PS4 folk will be getting are two pretty big games. So first one's Just Cause 3.
Feels like it's still fresh. I don't feel like it's that old.
It's still somewhat fresh, and you know those games are a lot of fun. I don't know if you ever played Just Cause 2 or the first one, but
just chaos engines,
just absolute chaos, and you know very over the top, very self aware. Understands that you just want to time missiles to Cals and send them up into space and things like that. So
all day long, I do that.
I'm looking forward to playing this. I've actually come close to pulling the trigger on buying it a few times just to have to run around in. So this is one that I don't foresee myself beating. Just because I'll probably get distracted.
I mean, do people even care about beating it?
I don't think so.
Like we said, it's a chaos engine. You're just in there to blow shit up.
Exactly. Drive around, blow shit up. The other one is Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry. This is a kind of like an add-on to Assassin's Creed 4. It picks up after the events of Assassin's Creed 4, And you play as Adewale, who is the first mate to Captain Kenway in Assassin's Creed 4. Okay. He has his own ship, and it goes down to the Caribbean, and you free slaves and be a pirate.
So, now, you said it's an add-on, but does that mean it's still standalone?
It is still standalone, okay. Yeah. It's its own thing.
It just riffs off of that.
Correct.
Okay.
Off those events. The other, PS3 gets Super Motherload, which is kind of meh. PS3 gets Snake Ball, which is also kind of meh. But at this point, you know, I really do look for them to announce that they're just going to drop PS3 support anytime, because they really should. I really think that would be smart. Just focus more on the new gen stuff. I don't see the point in keep doing this, but whatever. PS Vita is getting Downwell. And the cool thing about that is it's a cross-buy title, so that means if you have digital access to it on Vita, you have digital access to it on PS4. So Downwell is actually a really fun game. We played it one time in one of our early Let's Play videos, Downwell with Drake.
Yeah, that was fun. Check that out.
So it's a great little game, and it will be one that will be a lot of fun to play.
Devolver?
Yeah, Devolver published.
Yep.
So, yeah, should be sweet. And then for Xbox, so if you get an Xbox... specifically Xbox One, but you do get some if you're Xbox 360 only as well. But for Xbox One, you get Slime Rancher. Now, Slime Rancher, I don't know if you've heard of this game.
I've heard the name.
You've heard the name. So it's like you're an intergalactic farmer, for the lack of a better term. So it's, several dozen, if not 100 light years away from Earth in the future. You go to this planet and you farm slimes, like these cute little slimes, like from like a
Dragon Quest,
something like that.
Okay.
But different ones do different things. There's different rarities, and you have to like go out and find them, and you suck them up in this vacuum cleaner and then put them in pens and then get them to do things for you. And it's extremely well liked in early access and has been in early access for a while. It's getting the full release, and then on full release, it's getting the free games with gold treatment. So
sounds interesting.
Pretty spiffy. I actually downloaded the demo for it and had a lot of fun with it.
Cool.
So should be a lot of fun. Catherine, you might check this out. I don't know if you guys have an Xbox, but if you do,
they do not.
Get it. If you have a PC that could play it, get it, because this is right up your alley. Just saying. It's adorable and very job-like. The other is Trials Fusion. This is a fairly older game. I'd say 2 or 3 years old, but still a lot of fun if you like those Trials games where it's just, you know, physics engine just beating you over the head.
Yeah.
And while you try to land tricks or win races or whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. Xbox 360 gets a couple of sweet ones. Red Faction Armageddon. I don't really care about this one, but it is not a bad game. Before THQ bit the dust, and I did like the Red Faction games back on the PS2. The biggest one to me here is Bayonetta. So this is one that you should be excited about. I'm excited about.
I am very excited about it.
The OG Bayonetta. So yeah.
Now, I do have this already on Wii U. Double disc,
yeah.
But I should probably send that back to him soon.
Yeah, now that you
so
have
at least
this.
I'll have this as a fallback.
There
so
you
that's
go.
Cool.
So pretty damn good lineup in my opinion. So if you got both like me and Trev here, you got a lot of cool free shit coming your way.
What'd you call that?
Biconsolate. I don't know. If I need a name.
I'm not trying to label you. I'm just trying to be funny.
I know.
Did you jump into the Destiny 2 beta, though?
You know I did, girl.
And was it everything you wanted and more?
It was all right. I mean, the thing is... Okay, so first of all, I don't really think it's a Destiny 2. I feel like it's Destiny 1.5, which I'm okay with. I'm not mad about that. The other thing that I'll say is that the best part about Destiny is the sense of progression you get when you play Destiny. You get new loot, you level up, you unlock skills, you get cool gear, blah, 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 blah.
RPG through and through.
Yeah. So the thing that doesn't translate right is when you're playing a beta. You don't really get to keep any of this progression. There's limited access to loot. It's mechanically, it feels just as good as Destiny 1, so it was fun to kind of go back and play that. The gun plays good, grenades, the melee, all that stuff. So it all felt good. It all looked good. I have no doubt that it's going to be a fine game, but it's just somewhat unfulfilling playing that knowing you're not going to get to keep any of this progress. So, but that's just the nature of a beta.
Okay.
But I liked it. I liked it. And I do not regret pre-ordering and paying off the whole thing.
There you go. Well, and it's coming, what, got 2 months?
Thereabouts? Just a little over. A little over a month, actually.
Okay.
September 6th, yeah.
Yep. And then the Atari box. Jake, what is Atari doing? What is this thing?
I don't know.
What are they teasing us with?
I don't know.
The unveiling looked like a car commercial.
It did.
They showed the logo, I was like, oh, so an Atari.
Yeah, it's an Atari. I think that It's an interesting thing. This was announced, I think officially announced June 8th, I think is when Atari like rolled back the curtain on it. And, you know, immediately people are like, oh, it's a NES Classic thing. They're just going to put Atari games on it. And maybe, don't know yet. There's a couple of other things that have kind of made me wonder. You know, it's got USB ports on the front and an HDMI port, which I get. Those are kind of standard things, but they also seem kind of, you know, I guess forward thinking.
Well, it's universal for some reason.
Right.
You're forward thinking. Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be any space for any type of physical media to be inserted into it.
Say for an SD card.
So it's not like you're going to pop an old cartridge in there like that.
But you're going to break it.
Yeah, you're going to break it. So I don't know. I don't know what this is. I don't think it's going to be like a full-on console competitor with, you know, the big three. And I don't think it's going to be something like an Ouya. God, I hope not. But I am curious about it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. It does have an Ethernet port, so it will be. That's advertising that it will be an online.
I'm hoping kind of thing. It's not like them trying to launch their own storefront, you know, like an NVIDIA Shield where
Steambox,
you know, you stream games to it or something like that. That worries me. Because that's, I don't know why people do that. I just don't think that's ever going to catch on. But who knows?
Yep.
Who knows?
I'm open to be wowed, though. Whatever, you know, just give me, you know, show me something.
I like more.
Yeah.
I like more games, so that's cool.
It's kind of cool seeing Atari be relevant.
I know. Again. Well, we don't know that they're relevant.
Well, that's true.
We just know that they're back.
Yeah. So they made a headline, which was nice.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Like, so that's the Rolling Stones making an album now. They're not relevant, but it's cool seeing them back.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good analogy.
That's hateful.
Well, that's been your hot jakes.
That's been hot jakes.
That's been some hot jakes. I hope they were hot enough for you.
They were quite warm.
Games that we have completed or retired. You know, Jake. Once again, I hit up the Twitter masses. You know,
as you do.
Yeah, and so I'm gonna get on that Twitter. I'm gonna check it and see.
Oh, girl.
I need you to fill time here because okay. I lost my place.
That's no problem.
On the thing.
It's no problem.
So take it away, Jake.
So in case you haven't heard, we've been doing this whole Just Beat It hashtag. Now I did put one out there for everybody, but did I do more and just not spoil it? I don't know. We'll see.
Yes, you did do that. You did use the Just Beat It hashtag. Now, the poll that I was specifically referring to, and I'm sorry.
I know
we have a couple
I
things
know
going
on. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah.
I was just trying to fill time.
You did a great job. I thought I was going to start doing, you know, get some interaction going.
Say hey.
As people, take some bets, hedge some bets. Yeah. You know, which one of us you think beat some game, which one of us do you think was pretty lame?
Yeah.
And then how did you do? You know, I'm always curious how people are out there beating the games. Beat the games. That's what we're beat all about games. Here. Beat them. Get
Completing,
some poly kills.
Conquering.
Get some serial kills. Just get some kills.
Yeah.
Okay, here's some predictions. We got a few in this week.
Okay.
Julian Vega says, Jake 2, Travis 2. And then to flare it up a little bit, he says, Jake with a combo breaker at the end. So, and he has a little gift there, some fighting games. So he knows what you've been into.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Q-Dog says, Jake 3, Travis 2. So the tide has shifted in terms of perspective. People are now seeing you as a beater. Miss
like
Q-Dog didn't beat any. She had a busy week.
I understand.
Derek says, Travis 5, Jake 8, hashtag tell you what you want to hear. So... high expectations.
Very.
My favorite one though was Bill from SDC Pod says Jake 0, Trav 0, Bill 1 with a smug gif to go with it, which was fun. I thought that was fun.
Ryan Reynolds, very nice.
And Caleb J Ross just he lumps us together. He's hedging his bets here. He's trying to he said 3 total.
3 total. Okay.
So that was everybody's feedback there. So let's see how right or wrong everybody is.
Let's take a look. Let's dig in and see.
Okay, here we go. I'll go ahead and go first cuz I got a whole bunch here. I didn't beat anything. I didn't beat anything, Jacob. Fuck! I didn't beat anything. I tried so hard last night.
Ugh.
I just couldn't do it.
Ugh.
Not. I'm close on a lot of things, but I just could not get credits on anything. I even tried. I tried to go for something small, something little last night. I just didn't have it at me.
Well,
just too close to crunch time. We've all been there, though, right?
We've all been there.
The night before the episode records, you're like, fuck, fuck, fuck! And nothing.
Pretty much.
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
So I didn't beat anything, but I will bounce back. Next week, I'm declaring right now, I'll have at least 2.
Okay.
I'm saying that for sure.
For next episode, you're going to have at least 2 wins.
At least two. Yes, two kills. At least. I'll have a polykill next week for sure.
For sure.
What did you get though?
Well, one is the one that I did send a tweet out there with that Just Beat It hashtag, and that is Mortal Kombat 6. So Mortal Kombat X. This is one that I mentioned that I picked up last episode. Mortal Kombat X, and like I popped it into the PlayStation, and it's like, hey, this thing needs an update, and I was like, sweet, update me, bro. And it turns out it was a 10 gig update. And I was like, holy shit, bro. I'll play you later, bro.
That's plenty of update for Mortal Kombat. What is that, like another Mortal Kombat game?
Essentially, it was. So, you know, when you boot up, it's like, because the disc says Mortal Kombat X. So I was like, all right, Mortal Kombat X. Put it in there. And it's like, hey, you need an update. It's like, okay, cool. Turn it off. Next day, come in. Turn it on. It says Mortal Kombat XL. So it gave me the XL update.
Like a larger t-shirt.
For free. Yeah. It didn't include all the like the extra fighters and shit, but it did update it to like have all the new other stuff, I guess. I don't know. I didn't see the difference between the two, you know, but I'm assuming there's a difference.
All the fighters are a little fatter.
I know this one has an L.
Like
the other one didn't.
Sub-Zero's got like a gut now.
Yeah,
it's like they're all in their 40s.
Yeah,
trying to fight XL. That's funny.
That's weird how right you are. Great game. Great game. Miles told me last episode that I would enjoy it, that the story mode was great. He was not wrong. It was great. I had a fun time playing it. There's just something about the Mortal Kombat characters, man. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't have a huge amount of nostalgia for games. Like, that just something that doesn't connect with me for some reason. Just never clicked. But Mortal Kombat, man, just like seeing the characters, you know, seeing Lord Raiden and Sub-Zero and Scorpion and not Scorpion. Scorpion. Yeah. And it just sounded wrong when I said it for some reason. And, you know, seeing, you know, Johnny Cage and all this shit. And it's just fun to kind of go back into that world. And I just kind of like the overtly darkness of it. It's just like, hey, we're gross and bloody and demonic, and we just have fun.
I think that's it for me too. Part of it's because I grew up around people that also play Mortal Kombat. I recognize Street Fighter as also a premier fighting game of that era, but sure. I didn't know many Street Fighter folk. All of my friends thought Mortal Kombat was way cooler.
Well, it definitely was more edgy, and I think that when you're 12, 13, edgy is definitely cooler.
Well, that, and from my childhood when I was impressionable, the Mortal Kombat movies had a bigger impact on me than the Street Fighter one.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another thing, too.
That helps.
So I attach a lot of those characters to those movies, good or bad, for better or worse. Yeah. So it does have a greater impact on me than most other fighting games.
And fun, fairly easy to play. Had some tough fights. I'm not going to lie to you people. I didn't breeze through it. It took me some time to beat different characters. Just mainly because, you know, some characters I'm great with, some I'm not. Like when I play as Kotal Kahn, he's just big, slow, and lumbering, and I just can't do that. Give me somebody quicker, and I'm usually better. But I had a lot of fun.
Nice, man.
Very pretty. Very worth playing.
So that's one. You're up on me 1-0.
So the other one I beat was Wet Sack.
What? No, we're talking about games. Don't get gross here. What game did you beat?
I didn't beat a Wet Sack. I beat Jetpack. Now, this is... I'm definitely going to call it a completed game. I mean, I think it is Rare's first game, if I'm not badly mistaken, at least first published game. Mm-hmm. This back before they were even called Rare, I believe. But this is on Rare Replay on Xbox One. It is it's an arcade game through and through. You play as a little man in a space setting. You got a jetpack. You fly around. You pick up elements of a big rocket, put it together, fuel it up, leave, and then do the next thing again, all while not trying to, you know, get killed by other little creatures.
Cool.
So
how long did it take you? A couple hours? Or
I put a couple hours into it just to be sure, but it's one of those games that just basically the levels repeat. You don't get credits.
Yeah.
So I cycled through all the levels twice. So
just to be sure, just to beat the extra shit out of it.
Correct.
It's neat that we have the ability to play that game on something like the Rare Replay, because that game was released on really platforms that were more popular in especially the UK and Europe, which were like the ZX Spectrum, the VIC-20, things that aren't even popular here in terms of retro collectors. Mm-hmm. Or you're not going to go to a local thrift store and dig one out.
Sure.
So it's nice that Rare Replay made that available. And you were right; it was published by Ultimate Play the game before they became Rare.
Okay.
So good to know. Well, congrats, man. That's cool. Yeah, it's rare for you to go back in time like that.
It is. But this is also kind of harkening back to my New Year's resolution, right? This is going to be more Metro games.
And by God, you did.
By God, I did.
Very good. That takes us to the hashtag Just Beat It segment. Just beat it. Beat it. Gung, gung, gung. Beat it. Let's go through. Let's see who beat it this week. Who used the hashtag Just Beat It? Jake, you ready for this? I got a lot.
I'm so ready for this. This is really cool.
All right. Eric, at Mighty Q Dog, beat Wolfenstein The New Order on his Xbox One.
Hot damn.
Sean, at Cartridge Bros, also beat Wolfenstein New Order on his PS4.
Hot damn.
Bill, at STC Pod, beat Portal.
That's a good one.
That's a Cartridge Club Game of the Month.
It is. Great game.
Frankie, at Viper Strike, beat What Remains of Edith Finch. Jake, what remains of Edith Finch?
I don't know. I haven't played the game yet, but I came close to buying it just to beat it for this episode, but I might for the next one.
Yeah. You don't want to steal Frankie's thunder. Let him have it this time. Mark, sorry, at Cartridge Bros P2, beat Adventures of Lolo.
Oh, no, that one's close to your heart.
Close to my heart. My wife and I love it. Love it so much. It's such a, I don't know, A lot of shared moments with that game in terms of gaming together. We don't usually do that a lot, and that was one where we sat together and tried to solve puzzles, and then it meant so much to us, you actually got us the third one as a wedding gift.
Aww.
That's how much Nintendo and Lolo mean to me. It produced a nice wedding gift.
Yeah.
So good job, Mark. I'm glad you liked it. Caleb, at Caleb J. Ross, beat Lego City Undercover.
Nice.
Said he spent 25 hours in that game. Can you imagine 25 hours in a Lego game? I didn't know they took that long.
Oh, yeah. They you can get crazy with those things.
I guess he was completionist, getting it all.
Sure, but yeah. Yeah, you can get crazy with it. Like Marvel superheroes? Marvel? Man.
I haven't played many.
Dozens and dozens of characters you can unlock in that game.
No shit.
Dozens.
Okay. Cool. Jeff, at Project Jeff 85, he beat Shantae in the Pirate's Curse.
Shantae!
Which, by the way, people tell me I'd like it. Would I like it, Jeff?
People tell me this all the time, and I see people rave about it and love it, and I'm just like, what's so special? I guess I need to buy one and play it.
I see it all the time at GameStop. I should try it out. Miles at Flock of
now,
Nerds.
Now, Schmidt, you should announce that we've moved on to the Polykiller Club.
We're in the Polykiller Club. Anybody that beat multiple games.
More than one.
More than one game. Club. Whatever music that Jake edited into the background here will change up to be more intense. Right, Jake?
Sure.
There's probably no music as I'm speaking right now. Miles at Flock of Nerds beat Wolfenstein The Old Blood. So another Wolfenstein game got beat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the reason that this is a Polykill is because Cat and Miles together beat Super Mario Bros. 3 on their YouTube channel.
Have you beat that one yet?
I have not beaten that one. I've played a good deal of it, but there's no save in it. It's kind of long. So when I get a free night at some point, get some bros over, maybe speed through it.
I'll do it.
You'll do it?
I'll do it.
You'll be my man?
Yeah, fuck yeah. It's a great game. Love that game. Love to go back through that game.
All right, we'll come over sometime. We'll do it.
Right.
Diego at A Latino Lawyer beat Blaster Master Zero and ARMS on his Switch.
Switching it up.
JD at Play and Listen, Horizon Zero Dawn and The Order 1886.
Very nice. Those are two great PlayStation exclusives. The former more so than the latter, but those are really pretty cool games.
He said The Order 1886 was very underappreciated. He enjoyed it. Musty at Musty Hobbit beat Abzu, Uncharted, and Final Fantasy IV.
Holy shit, Musty. Did you have time to do anything else?
I don't think he had. I don't know. Did he brush that beautiful hair? I don't know. He didn't have time.
I don't know.
Too busy beating all the games.
Yeah.
Jeffrey at Self Destructo beat Portal and Risk of Rain. Jake, have you heard of Risk of Rain?
I've heard of Risk of Rain.
I've not heard of it.
It is a 2D roguelike action platformer that's just people love it. And I haven't played it, but I want it.
Oh, Jeffrey loved it, and he beat it.
Awesome.
Monkey Girl at Colette Lev, I hope I said that right, beat Doom and 140.
I don't know what that is.
Me neither. But there's I looked it up. I looked up a screen.
Okay.
Well, I got a screen of it. Very colorful and shapey.
I like those things.
Yes. Kyle at Doplik. Mm. Now, Kyle went all the way.
Oh, shit.
He beat basically all of Super Mario All-Stars.
That's crazy.
1, 2, 3, Super Mario World and the Lost Levels. And Jake, Lost Levels, they're a bunch of bastards. They're not easy.
Yeah?
And he did share his end screen for Lost Levels there on the Twitter. So,
hot dick.
Thank you, everybody, that joined in on hashtag Just Beat It. Keep it up.
Keep it up.
We'll try to find new and fun, clever ways to make this this segment worth listening to, as well as worth providing your beats for. So, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And good job. You beat more games than I did, so that's great.
Absolutely.
Added to the backlog, Jake. What'd you take over here?
Added to the backlog. I added only one game to my backlog, and that is Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. Mainly just because it's on, I guess I would consider it one of my secondary gaming apparatus. And I feel like it's a good game to play in spurts. 3DS, love it. So, yeah, that's the only one I really added in my backlog.
Cool. How long has that been out now?
A few years.
Yeah. I think it was one of the first 3DS games that came out, was it not?
No, that's not true.
That's not true. I just remember when one of my first experiences with a 3DS was playing the demo of that in a Best Buy.
Okay.
So that's why I assumed they were around
the same
time.
I'm going to look it up. You tell us what you added.
I added, folks, everybody listen up, listen here. I added a game, and it is Castlevania Bloodlines, the only Castlevania on the Genesis, Jacob. And you know I'm high on Castlevania. You know that. I love the show. I just recently beat the first one. I've beaten Symphony of the Night. I've not played a lot of the ones after... Actually, I haven't played any that were made after Symphony of the Night, but I'm really attached to a lot of those older ones. And this one's really interesting. It was one of the first, if I could be wrong, but it's one of the earliest ones that I can think of where you can pick between multiple characters. So you can play as either John Morris or his friend Eric Lacard. They have different weapons. One of them has a spear, which I prefer. It's actually a little easier to play with that guy. And the other one obviously has the whip.
Okay.
And great soundtrack. I mean, just very much a Castlevania game, obviously.
This is what the show is based off of, right?
No, it's based on the third one, Dracula's Curse.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. Actually, I don't know which came first, Super Castlevania 4 or this one in terms of... I don't know lineage, and also don't know when they were the release date difference, but those were the same. Super Castlevania 4 and I think Rondo of Blood and Bloodlines were all the same generation. This one's cool because it has password save.
Oh, nice.
So you can't get too stuck.
Yeah.
You know, I can get a little further, you know, get a password and come back and start from where I was. So,
start off real.
Yeah, I've gotten decently far into it. They're based on cities. It's like the fifth or sixth city in the game. I feel like I'm pretty close to the end. But, you know, as Castlevania games go, it's tough. But I'm looking forward to playing it. That might be, you know, maybe I'll beat 3 by next week if I can get around on it. That'd be nice. Did you find anything out about Luigi's Mansion?
It was released in 2013. 3DS was released in late 2010. I think I'm around that. So,
I didn't even know the 3DS had been around that long.
It was unveiled in 2010, so I think it probably released in 2011.
But still,
it came a couple years after release.
Cool. So. I guess I'm just an idiot.
A little bit.
That brings us to our Caltech ad. Folks, everybody, listen. This episode is sponsored by our friends at Calden Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, go ahead and send an email over to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. Also, everyone at Caltech is better at video games than Travis.
That is so true.
Yeah. I liked it better when the flock said it, but whatever.
That's fair.
Okay. So, if you like what you're hearing so far, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Hopefully you do.
Hopefully you do.
I think we've been doing pretty well. We got a tit joke already. I said long dick.
Yeah.
We talked about games. You sounded real smart there for a long time.
I did.
I've sounded real stupid. I didn't beat any games. I don't know when the 3DS came out.
I don't know why you're here.
Yeah. I don't even know why I'm here. I need to get a haircut. I haven't shaved in weeks. But, you know, despite all that, if you still like us, go ahead. Check us out over on Facebook. That's facebook.com/PolyKillPodcast.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're over at the Cartridge Club. That's cartridgeclub.org. That's short for organism.
Orgasm.
I guess it could be. PolyKill.com. That's where we have all of everything that we do, plus this podcast. So that includes blogs, videos, whatever.
It's all there.
All there. You know, if you have that off-kilter story, you have that sports story, if you have anything to share at all with us, go ahead and email that over to polykillpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use. Tell your Nana about us. Tell your friends. Mm. Tell your cousins' kids. You know, you probably won't think about them very often because they're not...
Second cousins.
Yeah, they're second cousins.
So they're second class.
Yeah, they're like sub-cousins.
Yeah.
But go ahead and... You don't think about them often, but they probably like games. So go ahead and tell them. Say, hey, Polykill does a thing, and you might like it. And subscribe to our Sad and Lonely YouTube channel. We know 4 or 5 of you out there watch these, and...
We love it.
We'd like to get 4 or 5 more. Yep. That'd be cool. Yep. All right, Jake, are you ready?
I'm ready.
It is time for the long page.
So good.
That's more chai than girl these days. I've switched it up.
Yeah, you have.
I have. For me, Beyond Good and Evil HD there on the Xbox One, which is the remake HD of the port of the HD 3 thing for the 360.
Right.
I'm enjoying it.
Good.
I think, you know, last week we had a lot of talk about, so I was very brief on it when I mentioned it, but I can dive in a little bit more this time as if it were my first time talking about it, okay, because I've had some time to fester with it. So, yes, fester, it's this festering stink that I have. No, I'm kidding. I just used the wrong word, and I have no way to dig my way out of it.
Okay. All right.
The characters, first and foremost.
Okay.
Now, you Have you played the game at all?
I have not played the game at all.
But you're familiar with some of it, obviously.
I know a little bit about
it. So, and then everyone, you know, contemporarily, or they have the Beyond Good and Evil 2 trailer to kind of, that's the freshest thing out there for everybody.
Yes, yes.
Those characters, I think, have the same inventiveness and the, like, unique and interesting, but they're not as, you know, obviously as vulgar as they were in that trailer.
Oh, yeah.
This is very much a kid's game.
Okay.
It could have been an N64 kind of game, if that gives you an idea of taste.
That's what I think about when I think about it. It's like Banjo-Kazooie with a camera. That's like what crosses my mind.
Sure. Yeah, it's very similar. Okay. I mean, I would say at least in style and humor. The gameplay is very linear. I didn't expect that as much.
That's exciting.
Yeah, very, you know, linear, but it's kind of like that fall open world. It's like, you can go anywhere, but you have to go here. One of those.
Yeah. Hotel California situations.
Yeah, and combat's, you know, even from that Beyond Good and Evil trailer, the second one that came out, I thought combat was a big part of this world. But it's not. It's very much just take pictures and go places. And a lot of it's stealth. Like, anytime you engage something, it's sneak behind it and disengage it or something. There's a little bit of combat, but not much. Not as much as I was thinking.
Cool.
Pretty fun, though. I mean, there's enough variance going on between taking pictures and trying to solve the puzzles and work your way through and sneaking around and figuring it all out that it's pretty enthralling. Like, I've been sucked in for long play periods.
Awesome.
But the thing that I fucking hate the most,
it's the camera. It's ironic.
Yeah, I know, right? Because you're a journalist, you're taking a lot of pictures of things, but the fucking move camera, sometimes you're just in a wall, and you're like, hello, where am I? And then it'll, like, force perspective shifts on you in the middle of doing something, which I hate.
That's awful.
Does a lot of that stuff.
It's awful.
But, you know, it's very forgiving. If you die, it doesn't even take you back to the last save point. It puts you back in the room where you died. So the penalty for death is not great. And I've heard that is also true for the original. It's not just an HD remake thing.
Okay.
So
okay.
I feel like I'm still getting that genuine difficulty level.
Nice.
From it. So that's good. I like it.
Nice.
That's all I got to say about that.
Glad to hear it.
Yep, that's my long play.
Yep, so I'm still playing long play my Verizon Zero Bars.
Yeah.
Shout out to JD for that, from Play and Listen. But that's, you know, I nothing to add. Not spent a lot of time with it in the last 2 weeks. Not as much as I had prior to that, but I did probably put another hour and a half, 2 hours into it to advance the story a little further and you know, see what's going on. So,
in case anyone was confused, we are talking about Horizon Zero Dong.
Yes, yeah, Horizon Zero Dong. Yes, yes. No dong. But yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Do you have any idea how close you might be to?
Not close.
Okay.
All indications, I'm not close.
Well, you did mention that it's a super large map. I didn't even realize it was that big.
Very big map. Yeah.
Does it feel too big, though? I mean, is that a problem? That's a problem for me sometimes in games. I'm just like, it's just too big.
It's not.
Okay.
No, it's not, because there's multiple ways of getting around. You know, you can go on foot. You can do that. Mm-hmm. You can override a beast, mount it, and ride it.
And then cover a lot of ground. They're big.
Cover a lot of ground. The gallop, like horses. Or you can fast travel twixt campsites.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like you're cheating when you're doing that at all.
Okay.
You know, so... I don't think I mean, big.
I get it. The Witcher was also huge. And I probably didn't scale not even 5% of it, honestly.
Sure. I think I read that the map, at least the width of the map, was roughly 418 miles. So it's
diameter
big.
Or across?
Just
or
across.
Girth?
Yeah, girth speaking. So it's big. It's big. And like I said, a lot of different variants in the biomes. And it's just goddamn pretty. Just play the hell out of it, people. And those of you who beat it, you already know what I mean. Side quest. What are we side questing on there, buddy?
On the side for me, Jacob, I've been playing... I've been playing... Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance with my wife.
Yeah.
And I love it. It has been a great experience. It's the most intense game we've ever played together. Like I said, we sat on the couch and tried to solve some low puzzles together.
Sure.
The only other time we've both held a controller was when we played some Kirby Epic Yarn. So that's nothing compared to playing a hardcore D&D Baldur's Gate game, right? So it's been fun, and she's really good at it.
Nice.
I think playing Skyrim helped a lot. I mean, when she first played Skyrim, I remember watching her go up a flight of stairs in the game, and just the camera was fixed on the wall, and she just scaled up it against the wall until she got to the top. And, you know, 400 and some hours in later, she, you know, obviously more fluid at the dynamic of the game than I was. So it's been a lot of fun. She's really good ally to have. She's very smart with it and everything. So she's got the game down pat.
Sweet.
No spats yet, other than the occasional, don't go all the way up to the fucking top of the screen because you'll pin me down here and get me fucking killed. Christ. You know, just stuff like that. But
sure.
We still love.
Sure.
You know, just don't get me killed. Drop the weapons I need. Don't pick up all the arrows. I'm the archer. You're not.
Nothing
that kind of thing. But we still, you know, we say goodnight to one another at the end. We're usually smiling in the morning afterward. But it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. And I say a lot of that in jest. It really has been. So, yeah, that's one of the games I've been working on there, Jake. You want me to go again?
Yeah, go again. Okay. I think you've got more than I do here.
I do have a couple more. I've been working. Like I said, I didn't beat anything, but I put some time in. You know, it wasn't a complete waste.
Yeah, you sound like me now.
Yeah, I know. But I really did. I put some effort in.
I believe you.
I didn't play any games. Put some time in. Walking Dead New Frontier. Nude Frontier. Naked Frontier. Pantsless Frontier. Really good. Now, you orphaned our good friend Miles.
I did.
You had promised him that you'd play some games with him online. He was eager to make a new friend.
Right.
It's always great to get to know all these folks in the club and leverage that support and for things like being on each other's podcasts and that kind of thing.
Right.
And you almost ruined it. You said, I'm just going to play all these other games on this other console, fuck you specifically, Miles. And I thought that was hurtful. So I said, Miles, listen, let's play a game together. You know, what do you got? And so we decided we'd play Walking Dead New Frontier at the same time. And then we get on Twitter every night and DM each other what we thought about that last episode. We say, hey, well, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What's going on? That's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no doubt.
I shit on you a lot there. I was kidding about a lot of it. But it has been a lot of fun just to share that experience. And because those games just... I don't know. There's just something about them. Just that recipe of what did you do? How is it different for you?
Right.
Sometimes it's different. Sometimes you can tell. You can kind of see the sausage be made. You know that it's forcing you on this path.
Yeah.
And we've uncovered a lot of that by talking to one another. But it's still been a whole lot of fun. I'm through episode 3. So again, I think that's one that by next time that we're here on Polykill will be a done deal.
Okay.
It'll be wrapped up. But having a lot of fun.
Exciting.
With it. What about you? You play anything?
Yeah, I dabbled a little bit there in that old Yonder, Cloud Catcher Chronicles. You know, it's surprisingly quick how you move around in that game. That's one of the first things that struck me about it is the movement's quick, which is nice because you got to cover a lot of ground.
Now, again, reappraising on the aesthetic, is it because you mentioned Stardew Valley, and that's what I'm picturing right now, but does it look like that?
No, it's Wind Waker.
It's first person.
Like no, first person, third person.
I'm sorry, third person, yep. But it's 3D. You're not micromanaging from a top, not
correct.
God mode.
Correct. Okay. You know, it's got, you know, some of the normal usual suspects are here in terms of like this kind of game. You know, you've got your crafting menus and your backpack and your big chests and your farm and things like that. But it's very cute and adorable. And it's very nonviolent. There's no combat in the game whatsoever. And you just, you go around and you do things for people, you build things, you make friends with animals, you feed them, you give them water, that sort of thing. So it's a relaxing game.
Okay. Yeah. You know? I can see that.
And, it's just fun to spend time with. And it's got a cool day and night cycle. The lighting engine's actually really strong. That's one thing that I noticed about the game initially. It's very dynamic and very interesting. So yeah. It's been not a lot, but, you know, a couple hours in it.
Can it be killed? Can you get the credits on it? Does it end?
Oh,
is there an end game?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's like a log of how many jobs that you have in certain areas, and you kind of like check them off as you go. So once you wrap up a certain area, then it kind of unlocks another area.
Okay.
Then you move on.
Awesome. Sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's cool.
Another one for me, Jake, the last night, like I said, I was clamoring for something to get a kill on. I needed to beat something. I didn't want to come in here empty handed, although, spoiler alert, I did. This is a game that I don't want to add to any backlog of mine nor ever play again, but I spent time with it, so it's worth mentioning here.
Okay.
So I'm looking for a game to play. My cat runs by, knocks a glass of water over. I'm cussing at the cat, but I happen to look down and spot Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters for the Sega Genesis on my shelf. And I said,
Fighting game.
Could be shorter than a lot of other options that I have here. I look it up online. It says it's about 30 to 40 minutes, you know. But let's be honest, fighting games are as short as you're good at them.
Sure.
I'm not. Sure. So I went ahead and said, okay, 3 hours. Cool. I can probably... I got time. Let's do
90%
it.
90% more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it reaffirmed how shitty I am at fighting games. Mm. I'm just awful. I've also heard this is not a good one, but...
Is this the one that... was there more than one Turtles fighting game for Genesis?
No, there was. There's a Turtles adventure game.
Because I played this one.
Or a beat 'em up game that was similar to Turtles in Time.
Okay,
it's called Hyperstone Heist, and then there's this
Tournament
Fighters.
I'm looking up to see if this one I played.
Okay, yeah, and well, you pick from any of the Turtles. You can play as Splinter or Casey Jones or April and all that stuff, but it's just fucking hard. It's merciless. It's so dumb hard. I've had more success on other fighting games than this one. It's just dumb hard.
Yeah, this is the one I played.
So I quit. I quit early.
I got you.
It was too hard for me.
I got you.
But I did play.
And then we both had a little party the other night.
Yes,
we played some Rock Band.
You guys know how we love to sing, and you know, we had Briz over at Hokey Briz. He writes the blogs for Polykill. He's a Polykiller. We had the drums, the mic, guitar, just the three of us, just rocking the trio. You know,
mm-hmm.
What's a good trio band, Jake? What's a good
Rush?
Rush. We were being Rush. We played a few Rush songs even. What do you think our strong songs were?
I mean, I feel like your strong songs were Caught in a Trap or Suspicious Minds,
Suspicious
if you
Minds.
Will.
Suspicious Minds. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
I also thought we nailed Space Hog in the meantime.
Space Hog, that was a good one.
Fucking flawless.
That was really good.
We are fucking Space Hog right now, I think.
I feel like you're accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
We had a good time.
Yeah, NXS, Need You Tonight, also a good one.
Great.
Make me smile. That's such a good part. But, man... Gotta love it. They're still updating that game with songs. I mean, it's off everybody's radar, but it's still being updated with some new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always a fun party game.
I agree.
All right, Jacob. Does that take us into it?
It do, buddy.
Are we ready?
No.
It's time for, everybody, what we like to call right here, the Disclosure. And we like to say that as loud and amelodic as possible.
Yeah.
So if you did want in on the discussion, that would have been a good time to tune out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a little bit timely because both IGN and Game Informer in the last couple months both released their top 100 RPGs of all time.
All time.
And it got me thinking, how many of these have I played?
Sure.
And so we narrowed it down. We said, let's just go over classic RPGs. There is this very big distinction to be made between classic and modern RPGs. You know, whether they're both considered JRPGs, whether they're both considered action or Western, there's a dichotomy in what's old and new.
Yes.
And so we're saying anything before 2001 is considered classic in general. PS1 and 64 is considered. We're not considering anything on GameCube and PS2.
Right. Anything ahead of that is not so.
And if it's PC, we're just drawing the line at 2001. We just did that.
Simply put.
So Jake, what is an RPG to you? It's such a fuzzy thing.
It's somewhat, it's somewhat...
analogous? Ambiguous?
Ambiguous. I think that's the word we're looking for.
That was the word I meant to say the first time.
Yeah, I knew. I was letting you run with it. I feel like it's, you know, somewhat amorphous, gelatinous. It can do what it wants and still be RPG because you can superimpose RPG elements into a multitude of things.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, what makes an RPG is a couple of things when I think about RPGs. One, I think about a robust leveling up system for your characters, some sort of measurable character progression, usually some sort of skill tree or class or something like that that helps you further define what your character is and expand upon skill sets that you have. Another thing that comes to mind is some sort of party, you know, that can be a big part of it. It's not always part of it, but a hardcore, hardline RPG has those elements to me. You know, you can do offshoots like action RPGs that don't have that. Usually those are just solo efforts, but sometimes they're party-based as well.
Usually what I think of for an RPG is a lot of stats.
Numbers.
It's a little
game.
Bit of grinding. It's all... I always think an RPG can be played with dice. You know, everything's a little bit of chance. You know, I get leveled up, but leveling up just increases my chances of something. It's not a hard line because it's all... RPGs are essentially based off of D&D.
Pen and paper.
And action adventure games were the step beyond that. It's like, okay, well, now we don't need to rely on this. We can actually build in the math on the inside and let you run around and swipe things and not be exposed to the math and the number crunching. But a lot of people still liked it. That's why it's still, I was like, no, I still like my probability and my grinding and all that stuff. So
yeah,
we're getting a little dry here, Jake, but let's just jump right in. Classic RPGs that we personally have taken to town, have beaten, have under our belt. Now I don't have many.
I have fewer than you.
Yeah,
I mean, that's probably because I was in action sports prison while you were in sports prison.
Yes, and I too played a lot of the more action oriented, yeah. And a lot, honestly, as a kid, maybe it just makes me sound dumb, but I thought there was just a lot of text in RPGs, and I didn't want to deal with that. I wanted to just shoot things, or jump, or do Mario, or do Zelda. You know, not a whole lot of dialogue, and I think that's. And I've grown to appreciate them a little bit more as I've been older. I'm still awful at them. Sure. It's very evident in my backlog and how I have a lot of. I have a constant gamestipation regarding to bring that term back, gamestipation regarding a lot of the RPGs, but I still do enjoy them. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I you know, regardless of whether or not I've beaten a ton of them, I enjoy getting 99% of the way through them. I really
and
do.
Then stopping.
And then getting stuck.
Yeah.
Some of them for me, Beyond Oasis recently was a game of the month on the Cartridge Club. Mm-hmm. I beat it a few months before that, before we were in the Cartridge Club, but that's a really solid one. Not many on the Genesis. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. Dragon Warrior on the NES. That's an oldie, but a goodie.
Oldie.
That's probably one of the only turn-based, well, in terms of Mario, Paper Mario's coming up for me, but that's Dragon Warrior is more of the quintessential turn-based RPG. So I do have one under my belt.
Okay.
Illusion of Gaia, an action RPG, which is a sequel to Soul Blazer, probably one of my favorite Super Nintendo games. I think it's very underrated. Parasite Eve, one that sticks out to me. It's borderline action RPG. You can kind of, it toes the line. But I really liked that one a lot, and I'm actually in the middle of the second one now. And then Zelda 2, which was, of all the Zeldas, in my opinion, and I know you have some games coming up, but very RPG, like...
Far more so traditional RPG.
Yeah, I mean, obviously because of the stats and the leveling up.
Random encounters.
That's
like that.
100% it, yeah. So those are some that I've beaten. Not an extensive list, not a big list, but a few tough ones there. Zelda 2 is a tough game. Parasite Eve can be tough, you know, so...
Sure.
Dragon Warrior, so proud of them, but there's tons more I want to beat.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, the only things that I would consider... having beaten in this realm are both Zelda games. First one being Link to the Past, the quintessential Legend of Zelda game for the Super Nintendo. Beating that one felt good. It's a great game. The other one would be Ocarina of Time on N64. So that one's right, you know, smushed right up against that boundary that we placed. But, you know, nevertheless...
Yeah, our lines are fuzzy.
Fantastic game, and needs no introduction for me.
Yeah, I think, like I said before, like I don't consider those strict RPGs, but they're definitely derivatives of, because it's an RPG.
They're
elements.
Action RPGs. You know, you don't have leveling there, but you do have, you know, inventory system. You've got a lot of dialogue. The world is high fantasy, so a lot of it just
differ on who you ask. So
sure.
If you're all uptight about it, then maybe
if you're
you
one of those ultimate players or something like that, you know, then fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. We're just having fun.
Fuck you, man. Okay, I'm over.
Those were some that I'm actually in the middle of a whole bunch. This is the funny thing about this episode, is that. I am gamestipated with them. Final Fantasy VII. I'm a doorway from Sephiroth. Golden Sun got really far, and I just got bored. Like,
got bored.
That game. Way too many words.
Mm.
I don't want to read. Dragon Quest VIII, Journey of the Cursed King. A doorway. I'm just too lazy to go back and beat it. Final Fantasy II, literally, the last level, the last fucking stage. Just too lazy. I just don't have any impetus. And Parasite Eve 2, of all of these, is the one I really want to get back to. And I'm actually just scared of it because it was getting scary.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it was getting a little scary. So I haven't gone back to it yet.
Nice. Now, I'm not currently in the middle of any classic RPGs, but I do have a lot that I own that I want to play. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that, like, when these games were popular, either I wasn't playing games or I was playing other games and far too more interested in playing Tony Hawk or playing Mario or GoldenEye or something like that to get involved. But Earthbound, that's one that I know is great. People love.
Mm-hmm.
Highly regarded as one of the better games of the generation. I own that on Virtual Console on my 3DS. Just haven't taken the time to play it. Wild Arms, this is another one that I've dabbled in. I have it on Vita because it's a PS1 classic on Vita. And it's a game that I would just absolutely love to play. I love the combat system, like the world. And
soundtrack, too.
Soundtrack. Oh,
you shared
so
the soundtrack.
Good. Oh, so good. Vagrant Story, another one that's just apparently a home run that, you know, once again, PS1 era. I'm very attracted to the RPGs of the PS1 for some reason, more so than anything older,
mm-hmm.
Which is weird to me because they haven't aged worth a damn. The other one is Final Fantasy VI.
/3.
So, yeah. Like, that's another one that I really want to play because I've heard nothing but great things about it. It's kind of like before that shift that Final Fantasy made to, like, the bigger worlds and the 3D graphics and all that. So I'm very interested in playing all of those and more, but those are just ones that came to mind that I would consider classic that I have access to.
Yeah, no, that's, and I think that's a strong list, too. And
absolutely.
I share an interest in every one of those, yeah, to be quite honest with you. So here's a little, it's almost like a little game we're going to play here
all
now.
Right, right.
I conjoined the list from IGN and Game Informer. I didn't want to rely on one or the other.
Like Twins of Siam.
Sure. I didn't want to rely on one or the other, so I smashed them together. I did a little math, a little algorithm math, and I came up with the top 20 from both of those sources. Now,
okay,
the only reason I chose those two is because they released this year. You know,
sure,
it's relevant,
sure,
publications.
And it's nice to just have people say, here's 100 of the best.
Yeah, it saved me some time, and it the blame's not on me. If you don't like this fucking list, then get mad at those people.
Yeah, fuck them.
So, fuck them. we're going to go through, we're going to say, have we played it?
Sure.
You know, we did go through with the ones we've
like
beaten.
Smash or pass.
Yeah, smash or pass, fuck Killer Mary or whatever. Would we play it now? And then at the end, we're gonna add one right to the backlog, Jake. We're gonna fucking add it right in there.
Dick.
Right in the backlog.
All right.
So number 20, Ultima 4, Quest of the Avatar.
I've not played it.
I have not played it either. I also don't own it, but it does have a NES port.
It does.
It does have a NES port. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the NES one's a little different than the original, though, so I don't know if it's as legit as maybe the Sega, because Sega does one, Nintendo don't. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I heard this.
Yeah, but by all accounts, a really good one. What about Baldur's Gate, the OG Baldur's Gate?
Not played it.
Developed by BioWare, though. That was
a big
one for them.
Oh, huge. Huge.
But it's high fantasy, top-down, isometric, third-person.
Right.
You know,
all the stuff you love.
All the stuff you love. I have not played it either. Final Fantasy... I'm really sorry. Phantasy Star 4.
Mm.
Have you played any of this?
I have not.
I've heard nothing. A lot of people in the club love this game.
Oh, well, yeah.
And it's released on the Genesis.
You're a bunch of nerds.
Well, of course we are. It released for the Genesis in 95.
Okay.
Turn-based battles, you know, the whole gig,
Look, this made it way to over to PC, PS3 as well.
And yeah, you can get it on your toaster.
Nice.
But I've not played that one.
I have a toaster, but cool.
Okay, yeah. That's actually an outdated thing to say, isn't it? People use different methods. Do you use a lighter?
I just eat raw toast.
You just eat raw toast?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just... okay, sure.
Bread.
Pokemon Yellow.
I have this one.
I know. I knew you did.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it? Why aren't you playing it?
Because I got Pokemon Moon instead, and it's so much better.
Yeah,
I think it's just I haven't played it. Like, that's it. I mean, I did put time into it. I really did.
Now, why does it stand out on this list, though? That's what I'm wondering. Like, isn't it...
Because I think there's a couple of things that make it different. It's a little bit more of a personal adventure, because you get Pikachu from the start. And it feels more like a teaming up between you and Pikachu rather than just you kind of emptying, you know, walking into this world on your own.
So it was a very mild iteration over, was it Red and Blue? Was that the one before?
Yeah. No.
So it's not leaps and bounds, but you're saying it made enough adjustments that people...
It made a few adjustments, and people love Pikachu, and he's very visible. He's the brand.
Sure.
So it I think that helped visibility.
Okay, cool. Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars.
Legend of the Seven Stars.
I have played it.
Now, I know you have. This is the one that the Craft Alania, right?
I don't remember which episode that was. Maybe 30 or something. But my battery in it died, and
just
I had to...
took a big old shit right on you.
Yeah, yeah.
On your chest.
Well, that's gross.
yeah,
but I did suffer a blow when the battery died, and I was very far into the game. I just haven't gone back. A lot of fun though.
Sweet.
But you've not played it. That's
no,
it.
Correct. Okay.
First RPG in the whole Mario series.
It's crazy.
Vagrant Story.
I just talked about this one.
You did.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by this one. I've not played it. I do own it, actually.
I found it
for a really good deal.
MacFest, right?
You found MacFest. Sadly, I haven't gotten around to playing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same team that developed Final Fantasy Tactics, so it's got a good pedigree. But here's the interesting thing about it. There's no shops in the game. There's no player interaction with NPCs. It just focuses on your weapon modification, and it basically just a puzzle-solving strategy weapon RPG. Like, very little in the way of... But
apparently the world is pretty cool.
World's pretty cool, and... I mean, what I'm reading with no shops and no NPCs to talk to, very little text, which you know how I don't like to read.
That's correct. You do not.
Fallout. The OG Fallout,
OG
Jacob.
OG Fallout.
Have you dabbled a little bit?
Not even a little bit. I own them on Steam.
Yeah.
Because I think they're selling them for like 2 pence and a, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they paid you to take
them.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And I think they took them off because of the thing with Interplay or whatever. But
I saw them.
I messed with them. Yeah. I have messed with them. Uh-huh. I wouldn't say I've played them.
Sure.
I started them up and was like, good God, this is slow and ugly, and put it away. Like, it is outdated.
Yeah.
It's very outdated. But for the time, it was great, you know. Fourth time was great. Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy.
And by the way, if you're keeping count here, we're at number 13 on the list. 13. We're doing a countdown. We started at 20. Maybe I should have said that before.
That's
number
right.
13, Final Fantasy VII. Began development on the SNES. Did you know that?
I did know that, actually.
I didn't know that. But obviously, it came out on the PS1 3 years later.
Sure did.
Have you played it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah?
Of course.
Of course
I played a little bit. It was all right.
I played it a lot of bit, Jacob. A lot of bit.
I know you have.
And I'm gamestipated. System Shock 2. It's number 12.
I really want to play this, and it's weird to me that this is considered an RPG, but I get why it's considered an action RPG. But I have not played it, but, you know, it's from, you know, the lineage in the Bioshock. And
Ken Levine.
Yeah. I mean, he's great at writing stories and creating worlds. So I'm sure I would love it, and it's probably one of the more beatable games on this list.
Yes, it is. It's so interesting because, well, it's, like you point, it beatable, but it's also 13 hours.
Right.
Maybe that's what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
But it also stands out because it's first-person horror RPG, and none of the rest of these are going to be like that.
Right.
This is a very different game.
This is a black sheep amongst these lists, these in the list. Yeah.
Ultima 7, this is number 11, Ultima 7, The Black Gate. I've not played any Ultimas.
No, me neither.
But
maybe that's my loss, but also, you know, I just only play computer games.
Well, this was also on the SNES, 94.
Was it?
That doesn't make it better or worse. I'm just pointing that out.
Ah, okay.
And maybe I didn't specify it here, but it was on the SNES in 94.
Okay.
Yes, and I think one of the improvements was that it was no longer grid-based. I think it was a little more open movement for that one.
Okay.
Because usually when I think of Ultima, I think of a lot of grids.
Yeah.
And it doesn't excite me in this day and age. It just doesn't do it.
No. Could I have no nostalgia for that.
No, me neither, honestly.
Yeah.
I'd dabble, but I don't think I would I would commit 43 hours that it takes to beat it to it. Final Fantasy 4/2, obviously.
Okay.
I have put a little time into one.
Right. Gamestipated on that one, too.
Yes. You've not?
Not.
Is that correct? Okay.
Not.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It introduced, it was the first one to introduce that active time battle system where things are going on, whether or not you're doing anything.
Right, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. A very character-driven plot for this one. It wasn't just like, you selected a mage and a wizard or whatever and went into this world and your characters just were mage and wizard. These are like, this character has a story, this character has a story, and I think that's why it's really powerful to a lot of people.
I agree.
That was number 10. Number 9, Suikoden 2.
Oh, yeah, you said that right this time.
Yeah.
I own this.
Yes.
I own both the Suikodens digitally on the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
So I've dabbled in Suikoden 2 a little bit, actually. Not much at all, but dabbled.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. It was really cool.
Is it something you'd stick with? I'm going to say no.
yeah, I probably would.
Interesting thing about this game, it had a limited print run because there was no initial response to it. This is, even considering that Suikoden 1 was out. Suikoden 2, limited print run, and that's why it's so expensive now. You have to, I mean, it's like $130 to find Suikoden 2. So that's a bummer, but there are other ways to play. You can
I got it for $4 digitally. So
yeah, you can get it digitally as hell.
Yeah.
number 8, Earthbound.
Oh, wow.
Number 8, Earthbound. We're getting to some good ones here now. I mean, they're all good, but this is some of the more recognized ones. You know, Mother 2 in Japan, released in 95, so it's one of the late SNES era games.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously very pretty. Another cult classic, didn't sell well in the U.S. They didn't even market it well in the U.S. I don't think they thought it would ever do well in the U.S.
Right.
But it's nice because it's a contemporary setting. It's not a high fantasy or medieval fantasy or anything like that.
Yeah.
You felt like you were actually a kid with your dog and all these
and
factors.
Your friends and your house.
It asked you what your favorite color was and all this other stuff that actually mattered eventually.
A lot of questions, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was really just neat and inventive and really a shame, I guess, that it didn't catch on more here because maybe we would have more iterations of it today. But
I agree.
You know, I've dabbled. I emulated it a little bit just to see what was up because it is an expensive cart to own. You can get it in the eShop, though.
Right, which is what I did for 3DS.
And you've played it a little bit.
A little bit.
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh, yeah.
This is a departure from the Final Fantasy formula.
It is, and I am of the persuasion if you put Tactics behind any franchise title, I will play it.
Yeah?
I love it. And there's plenty of games I would love to see Tactics on, like a Dragon Age Tactics or, you know, Gears of War Tactics or something like that would be cool. But anyway, I love the formula of Final Fantasy Tactics. I've actually played this one not a lot, but a fair bit more than probably any of the rest on this list that I've played.
Cool, interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's considered a tactical RPG, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of it's a battle system with is it between like armies? Like you just
I mean, you it's not terribly unlike Advance Wars or Fire Emblem or something like that, where you've got two different parties and on the map. And this one, I think, does a little bit more with verticality than some games. But
interesting. Yeah, okay. Cool. Number six, Secret of Mana.
Ooh, Secret of Mana.
This one's interesting because it was multiplayer. You could two people could jump in there and run around and do some stuff. I mean, it's action RPG, obviously, so you run around hitting stuff. Has that real-time power bar, so you have to let that recharge before you hit, almost like Secret of Evermore, which I didn't like much in that game, but I understand that it is a better system in Secret of Mana.
Cool.
Very vibrant art and colorful. Kind of reminds me aesthetically of Earthbound, just the way it pops. Like, you know, when you see a screenshot of that game, you're like,
Yeah,
it's one of those two. But no, I've not played it. Yeah. Number five, Planescape Torment.
Oh, yeah.
PC only. I haven't touched it.
I haven't either. I do own the successor, though, which is Torment Tides of Numenera. So, yeah, I think it's one of those that I'll probably get some of the, I guess, genetics of the game and what I'm about to play.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I could ever come back, play a 35-hour game on PC. I might die.
Yeah, it's primarily story-driven. There's not a lot of combat, so
it might be a little slow. You can play through the game without doing combat at all.
Yeah. Which is neat, but
no, it's very cool.
For the time, I'm sure it was very interesting. Number four, Diablo 2.
Yeah, this is obviously, on this list people played this game and still play this game.
Yes.
16 years, 15 years, however long, 12 years, I don't know. Anyway, people have been playing this game forever and love it, so...
Yeah, I feel like, if you ask me, have you played Diablo 2? I would say, oh, yeah, tons of hours. But really, my friend had it. I remember going over to his house maybe two or three times, and we played it all night long. So I probably sunk 30 hours into the game, but just really three times. But just
gotcha.
Long time. But I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, addictive as hell.
Baldur's Gate 2, Shadows of Am.
Okay.
I have played this one. Owned this one. When I was a lad, I had a computer, and I wanted a computer game, and that one was all the rage.
All the rage.
Very dark and brooding. It was probably my first real deep dive into D&D lore and the real stuff, not some of the candy-coated things that have popped up in the 16-bit era and that kind of thing. Like, this was the real shit. Like, it's heavily based on that lore. And it was too hard for me, being a 15-year-old kid. I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Sure.
I'm sure there were 15-year-olds that were way better at it than me. but it was I did appreciate it for what
you're
it was.
Fuck you, man. I'm going to play sports games.
Yes. I immediately went and was like, where is my Madden? I need my Madden.
Nice.
Have you played it, though?
No, I have not.
Okay. That's a long one. Same. 71 hours is the average time.
Crazy.
To complete it. Final Fantasy 6 /3/6, whatever, yada yada. This is one that you mentioned earlier.
I did.
Have you sunk some time into it?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not played it once.
I think it's interesting in this one because, I guess I can't say that all Final Fantasies are a distinct era. I mean, the first one was this high medieval fantasy. The second one was kind of like that. The second one, I mean, the fourth one or whatever the fuck. This one, though, is based in, the Industrial Revolution, late 1800s, so it was, the first shift that we in North America saw in terms of, time and place for Final Fantasy, which made it really interesting.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you can play 14 characters in the game.
It's nuts.
Is that too many? Is that, too spastic? Can you keep up with anything there?
It's too many for me.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people consider it, it's obviously number two on this list, so it works out well. Evidently.
I'm just going to grab one and run with them if I ever play it.
I don't have this one as Final Fantasy III. I have it as 6 on my PlayStation.
Okay.
But there's that. And then number one, Jake, what? Come on. It's Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger.
It's got to be.
Of course it is.
Have you played this at all?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
How far into it did you get?
Yeah. I got to the, have you played it at all? I don't want to spoil anything, I guess.
Well, I have played it.
I got to the first time jump.
Okay. I probably made it.
I got stuck on the boss at the end of the second area.
I probably made it substantially further before I got into collecting and before I got a real tight asshole for being a purist about like only playing the games I own on the original hardware. I don't care if you don't. That's fine. It's just a thing that I do.
Right.
I emulated it on a phone back when, like, I think it was like the first time I could emulate on a phone. So obviously I did. And I went for Earthbound and Chrono Trigger were the first two games. And I got really far in it, but before...
I think
the phone went kaput, honestly. I think I had to trade in the phone, so I lost my progress. But I got decently far, and if I ever come across the cart, I'd love to go back and beat it. So maybe we don't have access to all the ones, but it's easy to get them in some way. We don't have them all the original. They're all widely available because of some of the greatest games ever made.
Right. You gotta distribute that shit.
So of this top 20 that we've gone through, Jake, if you had to add one to your backlog and commit to it and say, yeah, I'll play this, you know, whether or not I stick with it or not, I want to jump in. What's one do you go to?
I honestly feel like it has to be Final Fantasy VI for me, just because, you know, of all the ones that are on here that I would have access to or would play, and I'm basically excluding anything that's PC for the most part, it would be that one, because a lot of the other ones I have at least some working knowledge of. So I think it would be Final Fantasy VI.
Okay, cool. For me, a game that... Actually, I'm between two. Ooh. I'm between two.
Ooh.
But I think I'm going to have to go with, I'm going to switch it right here.
Oh shit.
I was going to say Secret of Mana.
Oh shit.
Cause I do have it there on the SNES and I've been looking to play it, but I'm playing some other SNES games right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Vagrant Story. That's
Vagrant
one that I really want to play.
Nice.
One I really want to play. I think it's interesting.
Cool. So that was my second choice.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Ah, shit. We could have played it together and then you could have forgot about me and orphaned me and made me sad.
Whatever. Shut up.
Well, that's it. So we just added some games to our backlog, but, you know, I don't know if that got dry or not, but I enjoy going through it. You know, it's kind of enlightening, you know.
There's
a lot of games that I hadn't thought about in a long time.
Nice job aggregating.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, and hopefully people at home took something from it, too. There's a lot of good games out there.
I think they did.
And you should play them.
Absolutely.
Let's close it out, Jake.
Let's do it.
That's been our show. That's been episode 46. Next week is going to be a big one. We have episode 47 coming. That's next episode. Next week will be Off Kilter 8 about sports stories. 2 weeks from now, we'll be doing Yeargasm Part 2.
Yeah.
This is our second year as podcasters. If you have any memorable moments, share them. I don't know what we're going to do for that episode.
I don't know what we're going
to do. Wide open slate. We'll have fun for sure, whatever it is. You can follow us on Twitter. Together, we are at Polykill. Individually, I am at Trev Plays Games.
I am Matt McAxel.
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We don't have our own URL yet, but you can find it.
Yeah.
Rate us on iTunes, please. That's very important.
Very important.
It's really, really important. Polykill.com is where we keep all the stuff. CartridgeClub.org, short for organism.
Orgasm.
PolykillPodcast@gmail.com is where you can send us all your stories or any feedback that you have. And use that hashtag JustBeatIt.
Please do.
Attach a screenshot. We might do something interesting with those in the future.
Never know.
But if you don't attach a screenshot, it's fine.
Whatever.
Just let us know what you beat. We'll share them here on the show. So that's been it. See you next time.
Peace.